Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. Right now, you're about to listen to a message from our current series. Thanks for tuning in today.
I want you to open Bibles to Mark, the 11th chapter. So anyway, what I want to encourage you to do is to go online and listen to these teachings again. It's amazing some of the things that are said. Even when I'm teaching, a lot of times I'll say something that I didn't script or didn't put down. And just because I put something down doesn't mean it didn't come from God. It's just a wonderful God. It's amazing how God speaks to my wife more in the evenings, but speaks to me more in the mornings. In fact, usually when I get up in the morning, I begin to hear his voice right away. And it's so refreshing to know that God knows who we are. And I'm not a night person. Pastor Vicki is. I'm a morning person. She can hear God at night. I hear God in the mornings. And you hear him, you know, I hear him in the morning too. Amen. That's because I keep sharing with you. No, I'm just kidding. Mark the 11th chapter. And tonight I want to talk about something called mountain moving faith. Remember I said this, I've said this through the years, and I'll say it again and repeat it tonight. When you study the Bible, especially the New Testament, especially the New Covenant, when you remain humble and you study the Bible in context, God is able to teach you what he's trying to say at that moment or at the time frame of that scripture when it was written. And a lot of times people just pull scriptures out to try to make them say something they really don't say, try to make them fit. And I'm going to mention Brother Hagin a little later, but when Kenneth E. Hagin, some of you have never listened to his testimony, and he actually went to hell twice. He wasn't saved, and Grandma kept praying him out of hell and into heaven. Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah? Amen. He even made it to the edge of hell and just about ready to enter hell. And that's just tremendous, inspiring. Every time I'd hear it, Vicki and I would hear it in school, it would just captivate us. It's a story of how God is so merciful that here he is heading for the gates of hell, and he'd get there, felt the flames, and all of a sudden God would pull him up, and up and up and up out of the darkness he'd come, and back into his body. And really exciting testimony. But in talking about mountain moving faith, he was literally healed out of the revelation of Mark 11, 22 through 24, which we will read. But on the other hand, when you study the scripture, and we'll try to fit this all in to make it sense to you. But when you read the scripture in context, you see something a little different than just simply having faith in God. There's a lot more to it than just simply, I have faith in God. And we'll explain it as we go on here, which Brother Hagin caught a hold of, which qualified him for the healing that he received from God. Let's read a little bit of Mark 11 and verse 12. Now it says that on the morrow, or the next day when they came from Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. We'll explain this as we go. I just want to read the story. And Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Say his disciples heard it. Amen. They were listening. They heard it. And the Bible says, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, the merchants, okay, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer or allow that anyone should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is not it written, my house, and we'll talk about all this, okay, as we go, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered and said, Have faith in God. And we'll just stop there at that story, or at the conjunction there of that story. There were three significant things that happened within a 24-hour period, which we just read. The first one that we didn't read. It's important. Number one, the first early on in the chapter, you'll find that Jesus, as you read in other translations of the other gospels, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a burro, right? The back of a burro. And the Bible says, and there was great excitement and proclamation of him being their Messiah, Hosanna in the highest. They were shouting. And I mean, this was, you got to think about this. This would be like, this would be like being in a communistic environment, government, and you are declaring someone else someone else as king of your life or ruler of your life. I mean, and of course they would kill you, right? Because they don't want this to get out and spread, and so they'd get rid of you or silence you any way they could. Well, this is what was happening, but the Bible says, I think it's Matthew's gospel, that in that moment of excitement, Jesus literally broke down and started weeping. And why did he start weeping? Well, the Bible says, number one, he wept because they failed to recognize their day of visitation. They failed to recognize that 360 messianic prophecies that these religious rulers had been studying and meditating on so that they would miss his visitation, they missed it. And why did they miss it? They missed it, I believe, because of pride and self-righteousness. Pride and self-righteousness. And I've said this to the ears, you know, anytime God uses you, don't ever become arrogant or think that it was because of you. If God uses any of us, it should even make us more humble, because we know who we are. Amen. I'm not trying to be condescending, but we all know who we are. And if God uses us, to God be the glory, great things he has done. If you believe that, shout amen. 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 And so the Bible says, the following day, the Bible says that he left Bethany, heading for Jerusalem. And he stopped, of course, by the way, because the Bible says he was hungry. In fact, here's the Amplified. On the following day, when they had come away from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree covered with leaves, he went to see if he could find any fruit on it. Why? Because in the fig tree, the fruit appears at the same time as the leaves. So this tree just flourished with leaves. So he was expecting that it was full of fruit. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the fig season had not yet come. And he said to it, No one ever again shall eat fruit from you. And his disciples were listening to what he said. So why did Jesus curse this fig tree? Why? Because it had ceased from doing what it was created to do. And that was feed a need. It was to provide food or sustenance to the world around it. That's what, amen. It was created to feed a need. If you agree, say amen. The fig tree, listen to this, in the Bible always was a reference to Israel. And so God had chosen Israel, the seed of Abraham, number one, to be the light of the world, number two, the salt of the earth, and number three, the bread of life from heaven. Just like all of us have been called to be the same thing. We've been called to be a light of the world, a salt of the earth, and bread from heaven. So that those that are hungering for the divine will be drawn to us because they recognize it in our lives. How many want that in your life? I do too. Every one of us want that. We desire that aspect of our lives, but it doesn't come without growth and discipline on our part as believers. Amen. So as Christians, and I wrote this down so good. As Christians, it's not hard for a couple hours a week to disguise our spiritual barren lives with expressive leaves of glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, God is good, amen, amen, amen. We say these things and we cover or disguise our spiritual barrenness only to have it quickly uncovered as the winds of adversity start blowing the moment we leave church. Right, I mean, it's just the part of life. Remember, always remember this. Parable of the sower. We're going to teach on it again because it's important. We recognize the truth of the parable of the sower. But the Bible says Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown in your hearts. So when you leave here tonight, just expect the fact. I mean, at least be prepared for the fact that if something rises up, just recognize who it is. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against unseen wickedness in high places. If you agree, say amen to that. Jesus, number three, Jesus entered the synagogue or God's house the place God had chosen to manifest his loving kindness and tender mercies, the place he designated for healing, deliverance, and salvation, the place where faith, hope, and love was not only to be taught, but also to be caught. And when Jesus entered the synagogue, the Bible says that he was grieved in his heart. Why? Because it was unrecognizable regarding what God had established the house for, his presence. You know, I always think about, and it's gotten better through the years, even though a lot of, you know, we hear cases, we've heard it from people that have come to our church, and Tony Cook has expressed it, and others, that when they go to church, there's a lot of Word of Faith churches now. Those churches, they don't allow the Holy Ghost to move. You know, they don't allow the demonstration of the Spirit. Why? Because it will turn people off. How many people believe that God is the one who touches people's lives? And I know, and I recognize, I mean, the fact that you can get flaky, you can get goofy. And we have always tried to avoid becoming a seeker-sensitive church, yet being sensitive to seekers. And yet we have to preach the whole counsel of God. We've literally had through the years, it's just the way life is. Through the years, we've had people come and they'd be here for a season, then we'd preach on healing, and because they couldn't get healed, they left the church because they didn't believe that healing was in the atonement. But that's, right? Or they heard, you know, that we speak in tongues, and therefore, because we speak in tongues, you know, they don't believe in that, so they leave. But I'm telling you, I said to the Lord years ago, I especially when Pastor Vicki came home filled with the Holy Ghost, and we knew about it. Now, she was raised in it, and we didn't really understand it, and we thought in our hearts, well, if God wants us to have it, he'll give it to us. But if that was our attitude towards salvation, we wouldn't be saved today. We had to seek the truth, and God manifested the truth. And it's the same with these things in your life. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that doesn't make you a less Christian than I am. Right. It actually just simply makes me more responsible. Because I've received something now I have to be responsible over. Amen. I said amen. But don't close yourself to God, off to the things of God. Go to the Word of God. Find out what the Word of God says. Don't go to people, because people give you all sorts of opinions. You don't want an opinion. You want the revelation knowledge of God's Word. Amen. And so all these things are true, whatever it may be, you know, whether what you see God wants for your life, then you lay hold of it yourself, even if nobody else does. And you open your heart to it. So when she came home, immediately when she came home praying in the Spirit, that created in me a desire to have the same thing. And because at that moment, because they desired it, it happened to me. I opened my heart to it. And God did the rest. And that really personally, the infilling of the Spirit is for you personally, so that you can be strengthened on the inside, praise God. Become sensitive, more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make you more spiritual, it makes you more responsible. Didn't mean to get on that, but that is the truth. Amen. So Jesus was grieved to see what the church, the house of God, had become. And what had become. The Bible says it had become a den of thieves. People had come in and literally drove out the purpose of God's house. And that was to minister, to bring love, to bring encouragement, to bring intimate fellowship one with another. Amen. To bring worship and praise to God. To bring the Word of God into people's lives so they could know God in a greater degree. How many want to know God in a greater degree? Amen. I also. And so the Bible says after he drove out the money changers and the merchants out of God's house. And I like one of the translations says that Jesus sat down and he literally created a whip. Amen. And he drove them out with a whip. Amen. And so you can see here that there is a righteous anger, but it wasn't to hurt them. It was to awaken them to the truth. It was to help them understand that God's house has more meaning than just than the self-righteous come in there and puff up their self-righteousness. Amen. It was to create an environment for God to move. And so here's what he says. After he drove them out, he announced the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 56. Here it is. My house shall be called, and I love this prophecy because Jesus never gave up on the church. He says, my house shall be called. It shall be. He didn't say, well, my house was supposed to be. He said, my house shall be. Hallelujah. A house of prayer. a house of expressive worship and praise and reverence and humility and subservience. Amen? A house where my presence can come in and minister to whatever need you have at that moment. Can I say this? I'll say it. That, you know, that scripture where Jesus says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. But freedom, just because you have freedom one moment in your life doesn't mean you won't need it in another season of your life. I wish it was that way. Oh, glory to God, Jesus set me free from this or that or this or that. But it's not, that isn't the case. If you got free in one area, you'll be challenged in another area. Amen. It's just part of the journey of your Christian life, because we all have to deal with the same challenges of life, every one of us, because of our humanness, which we'll see in a few moments. So he said, my house shall be called a house of all nations or ethnicities, a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. You have stripped it of its meaning and purpose. And that's why we've wanted so much through the years to not only instruct you in the word of God, but to trust God for the manifestation of that word in your life. Amen. Just like you shared on miracles, God wants you to have a miracle tonight in your life, even before you leave the service. Why don't you give God a good shout like you believe that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Even before you leave the service, he has something special for you. God doesn't withhold anything from us at all. I don't care. I mean, if you've been gnarly and mean today, just sit there and repent, praise God, and let God touch your life in a supernatural way. God is a good God. Amen. So like the fig tree, the synagogue had become lifeless, barren, lifeless and barren of God's presence, power, and his provision, something we've never wanted here at Faith Family Church and never will have in Jesus' name. Now turn, if you would, to John the 15th chapter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, and we're going to read a little bit out of the Passion Bible as well, but I want to read first verse 8 of John 15. Jesus said, speaking to his disciples, he said, herein is my Father glorified, watch this, that you bear much fruit. Then he ends it, so shall ye be my disciples. So Jesus, He established the fact that God is glorified when you bear his image and likeness. And we'll look at the fruit in a moment in Galatians 5, okay? That's when he's glorified. I was going to share this at the end, but I'll just share it right now. You have to understand this whole Christian journey. You have to deal with this very thing throughout your whole Christian journey. It's the first and foremost thing that you'll deal with all through your journey. It's called relational warfare. Because if it wasn't for, if you were the only person in the earth, you'd simply probably just have relational warfare with yourself. And of course you would, because you wouldn't be happy with yourself. But I just want you to understand what this Christian journey is about. Everything is about relational warfare. That's what Satan is after. He's after marriages. He's after homes. He's after siblings. He's after friendship relationships. That's what he attacks. He doesn't attack my Harley. He won't attack your dog. But he's after you. And he's after the relational side of your life. And we'll see that as we go. So let's read John 15. I marked it in my Bible, so I'll turn right to it. This is the Passion Bible. Jesus speaking, he says, I am a true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up their fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. See, there's one story, a beautiful story about a farmer who had one vine and it wasn't producing, right? And he told his servant to go cut that thing down, get rid of it. And the servant said, hey, why don't you let me work with it? I'll dig around it. I'll put dung around it, you know, fertilizer around it. And I'll just work with it. And if it doesn't grow after this, then you can do whatever you want with it. And I believe that servant was Jesus, you know. And why? Because he wants us to bear fruit, the nature of God in our lives. And that just goes to show you how gracious God is that he gives us time. It just takes time to grow up. It takes time. And you, and if you want to admit it or not, I don't care if you've been serving Jesus for 10 months or for 10 years or 20 years, you still are challenged with relational warfare. It is just the way it is because we are in an Adamic nature that is constantly, we'll see from the scriptures, constantly fighting against the nature of God on the inside of you. Just want you to know that. Why do I want you to know that? Because then you think you're the only one that deals with what you're dealing with when everybody in this congregation deals with it. I'm just telling you, so you can pray one for another, praise God, because whatever you're going through, your neighbor beside you is going through it too. And if he's not going through it, he already went through it. If not, he's going to go through it. That's not a negative confession. That's simply the truth. I can't imagine what's going to be when we get our glorified bodies. And you and I were talking about that, but I was thinking the other day about it too, the fact that this, when we rule and reign for Christ for 1,000 years, that's going to be 24-hour days, day by day by day. Now, you know how long this life, some of you don't, you're young, but how quick this life goes by. I mean, so fast. But just think, at 80, I'll still have 920, thank you, 920 years left. I don't know, but it's going to be good. Hey, I can imagine. It's going to be glorious. Hallelujah. All right, let me finish this. So the words Jesus said, he cares for the branches, God does, connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. Now, the words I've spoken over you have already cleansed you. So you must remain, watch this, in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. Hallelujah. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. That's why every day you wake up. And that, you know, we got to get up in the morning. We got to, you know, shower, brush our teeth, have a cup of coffee or cereal, whatever you do. And then what do? You head to work. I mean, why? Because you want, Paul said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. He that doesn't take care of his family is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. Okay, but in the midst of all that, you acknowledge, you recognize, you confirm your desire to love God during that day and to honor him with your lifestyle and with your words. Can I have an amen? That's what he wants from you. And then you say, Holy Spirit, I give you all that I am today. I give you my spirit, my soul, and my body. I allow you not only to think through my mind, but to speak through my lips, hallelujah, and demonstrate your glory within me. Amen. That way you know that you're left, you didn't leave alone. Amen. You're equipped. You recognize it. You acknowledge it. You yield to it. Everybody say amen to that. Verse 4, the Amplified, Jesus said, dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, I love this, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Now, I am the vine, Jesus said, and you are the branches. Now, whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Amen. See, as a believer, I would trust you. Now, if you are truly a Christian, I mean, if you really are a Christian tonight, then you want to be Christ-like. That's what a Christian is. It's not a title, right? It's a journey. It's you exemplifying God's presence in your life. And we'll look at that here as we end this message. You want to be Christ-like. You want Christian values, Christian words coming out. I'm not hallelujah, praise the Lord. People don't understand that. But you want humility and respect and honor coming out of your lips. Can I have an amen? Amen. Things, you know, that will, people will recognize that you have a speech that they may not have. Being vitally united to me. Let me finish with verse 5. This is the passion, back to the passion. Now, I am the sprouting vine, and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. This is beautiful. Fruitfulness will stream from within you. When they squeeze you, instead of cursed words of the world's words of cursing, amen, words of humility and respect and honor, they'll come. The character of God will come out of your life. How many want that? You know, I mean, you just want that. Amen. Let's go on. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. Now, if a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. Oh, no wonder the devil attacks that. He has given you a check that he has signed and hasn't filled in. He said, you fill it in. He did that, you know, to King Solomon. Yeah, he was a young whippersnapper, and he stepped in to take the lead of Israel over his father. And what did he ask God for? God, I just need your help to pastor this flock that you love. And he says, well, because you didn't ask for the life of your enemies, right? You didn't ask for this or that. I'm going to give you everything you didn't ask for. Solomon, he was an awesome guy. He just had one problem, and that was with lust. Of course, he wasn't born again. Can't get out, can't beat him down too bad. We're born again. God's given us the power to conquer that. Can I have an amen? Don't want to get into that. Don't have time. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. Isn't that good? Let me say that one more time. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. Amen. I said amen. Amen. See, we're all spiritual fig trees planted in this world, seriously, to provide the spiritual sustenance that people need in their lives. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5, when Jesus, say this out loud, God has given me a ministry. Say it again. Yeah. And that ministry is defined beautifully in the Amplified Bible in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 21. And that is a ministry of reconciliation. That simply means let the world know that God loves them and he holds nothing against them. I think we look at the world and the disdain in our hearts for the world. You know, we look at the world and how they behave, and especially the political leaders, you know, somebody, we just have a disdain for them. And yet, sorry, God loves them. Our part is to pray, and God's part is to move. And if God could save you, he could save anybody. Smile at me, at least. If he could save us, he could save anybody. Praise the Lord. And we're also God's house, called to carry his presence into the world that he does love immensely. Hallelujah. So what is mountain moving faith? We'll wind up with this. What is mountain moving faith? I wrote this down. I had Chris, I had this in my Bible. It's been sticking there for years. And it simply says, the mountains of life are not before you as much as they are within you. So you can write that down. I know Randy will. The mountains of life are not before you as much as they are within you. So we all have mountains that endeavor to overshadow and cover. the light that we're supposed to be to the world around us. Mountains that come in the guise of uncontrolled anger, envy, jealousy, strife, unforgiveness, offense. Mountains of pride, rebellion, and stubbornness. When I wrote those down, immediately the Holy Spirit reminded me of King Saul. King Saul lost his kingship because of stubbornness and rebellion. In fact, the prophet Samuel came to Saul, and he said this in 1 Samuel 15. He says to Saul, rebellion is like the sin of divination. They use the word witchcraft in the King James. What does that mean? Saul was being a pawn in the hands of the devil and didn't even know it. And then he goes on and says, and arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. And what does that mean? Over time, Saul began exalting his own will above God's will. That is idolatry. And like Cain, because he refused to address it and conquer it, it conquered him. And I told you this through the years, and it's true. Maybe it's a rehearsed thing, but I hope not. But again, the two words that are missing in most relationships is what? Say it again. Say it again. And so we hold on to things, and those things become rooted in that, in our lives, like that. Remember Jesus said, I'm not sure what it's in Luke, I believe, where he said, the disciples said to him one day, Lord, increase our faith. And he said, man, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could say the sycamine tree. And why did he use the word tree? Because trees, the root system of a tree, and a lot of trees, they go down in the earth as deep as they go up in the sky. I don't care how deep something is rooted in your life because of generational curse. You can uproot it with your faith, hallelujah, your confession. When Jesus cursed that fig tree, and we haven't even read that scripture yet, the Bible says the disciples, the next day they came back and they saw that that thing was withered by the roots. And what did Jesus say? He said, have faith in God. Let's read it. He says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, I don't care whatever mountain you got dealing with in your life, I don't care what mountain your father handed down to you. See, relational war finishes. Relational warfare has been going on since Adam and Eve transgressed God's word in the garden. And it was really flourishing in the heart of Cain, who killed his brother. So relational warfare has always been, but guess what? God did not excuse Cain. He came to Cain because he cared for him. And he said, Cain, if you do right, I'm going to bless your life. You'll be promoted. You'll be exalted. I mean, your life will be blessed. But Cain, in that offense, that jealousy, whatever it was, it gets so rooted on the inside of him, he just refused to deal with it. And the Bible says he took his brother out into the field, and God said to me, the word field, of course, stood out. Why? Because it's the place of seed time and harvest. And instead of dealing and addressing his own anger, his own, uncontrolled anger, because why? Because that was the problem. Why? Because God came to him and said, why are you so angry? And I think anger is one of the biggest tools the devil uses in relationships today. People have uncontrolled anger, and we should have diffused that a long time ago, because the last fruit of the spirit of the nine is self-control. For others, it's something different. But it's amazing how that was the first thing the devil, tempted Cain with, was anger. So like Cain, because Saul refused to conquer it, it conquered him. So let's wind this up. You people always say, I just can't seem to get over what that person did to me, what that person said to me, how that person abused me or whatever, all that he came. And the more you rehearse that, the more you rehearse it in your mind, the deeper that root goes. You give life to that root. You water that root until over time, instead of you conquering it, it conquers you. It becomes a mountain. So let's read Galatians 5. We'll wind this up. Galatians 5. I love this. New Living Translation is so beautiful. This is Paul writing to the church at Galatia. He says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature." Say this out loud. I have a God nature, and I have a sinful nature. And the sinful nature is embedded in this Adamic nature. And you can't get rid of it until you take it off. Or you take the last earth breath. I'm just saying that. I'm telling you that so you recognize who your enemy is. The enemy, truly, in your life is not the devil. He's been a defeated foe. The enemy in your life is when you look in the mirror and you see this Adamic nature. That's your greatest enemy. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Everybody say amen. Amen. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. I wrote this down. Love your neighbor as you would want yourself to be loved. Isn't that good? Love your neighbor as you yourself would want to be loved. Years ago, the Lord said to me, many, many years ago, he said, life is not fair, but God is faithful. A lot of times you're going to not be loved, and yet you're still required to love. And why? 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 Because that's what God does to us. He loves us even when we're not lovely. Amen. Let's go on. So, but if you always, now this is, he's writing to the believers in Galatia. But if you're always, let me find out, biting and devouring one another, watch out. That's a warning. Beware, that's a warning, of destroying one another. So I say, what's the answer, Paul? Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. And I wrote this down also. It won't happen without you, your will yields to God's will. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Oh, really? There's a craving? The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Now, these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions, meaning it doesn't come without resistance and discipline on your part. This Christian life is no sissy journey. You got to be a Green Beret. Can I have an amen? You got to be spiritually tough. This ain't just for the weakling. This is for those who are determined they're going to walk with God and please God. Amen. You know, during praise and worship, again, it comes back to that. Just us trying to help you. You're here tonight because you came. You didn't come. 99% of you, probably 100% of you, did not come tonight out of tradition. You came tonight because you needed to hear from heaven. And that's what it is. It's coming to receive spiritual instruction for your life so that you become stronger on the inside to bear the image and likeness of God. Let's finish this. So, now watch this. The sinful nature, yeah, I read that. Verse 18. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under the obligation to the law of Moses. Remember the Ten Commandments? Well, if you're walking in the love of God, you fulfilled all of them. You're not You're not obligated to any law when you're fulfilling it. By the way you live and honor God. Let's go on. Now, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, okay, here's the mountains. The results or the mountains are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure. Isn't that amazing, those first three? And then there's idolatry, which is what? Exalting our will above God's. Then there's sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Isn't that something that he had to list all those? Why? Because that's what was going on in the church. Amen. So he's just trying to help help the church recognize where it needs to go. Give it direction. Watch this. And so let me tell you again, as I before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God, or they'll not inherit righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, because that's what the kingdom of God is, according to Romans 17, or chapter 14, verse 17. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. This is what conquers those mountains. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and have crucified them there. Every time you forgive someone, the process of dying is going on. Every time you're patient with someone's immaturity, you are dying. There's a death process going on inside of you. But praise God, after death, there's a resurrection. It means God's presence comes out of your real life in a greater measure. Thank you, Lord. Now, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Amen. I'll have the band come forward and we'll close. But I'm going to close with this. Brother Hagin, in fact, Vicky showed me a picture of him when he was young and younger. But he was... I think he was like 6 feet tall and weighed like 90 pounds or something like that. I mean, he was just, when he was sick, I mean, he was just looked like a, you know, World War II victim, you know? And he's laying in bed, listening to all the kids playing outside, all the, you know, fun laughing and, you know, all the fun things the kids were doing outside. He's laying in bed in a room where there's no air conditioning in Texas in the summertime. I mean, can you imagine what's going on in his mind? He could have gotten offended. He could have gotten embittered, right? He could have said, this is not right. Why do I have to be going through this? And all my friends get to live a fun life and I'm going through this. But he, for some reason, he never allowed himself to go there. Because he stayed true to his faith in God. He spoke to those mountains and those mountains were cast into the sea. Now think about this. I'll tie this all together with this thought. Then Jesus said in verse 24, so whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And it's the very reason verse 25 is there. And when you stand praying, I don't even know if I wrote, could you put up the, could you put up Mark 11, verse 25 out of the Amplified? There's a reason. Jesus ended this with this provoking thought. If you can get it up there, Mark 11, verse 25 out of the Amplified. There it is. And whenever you stand praying, isn't this interesting? He's talking about mountain-moving faith. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop, leave it, let it go. Forgive him, let it drop, leave it, let it go. Forgive him, let it drop, leave it, let it go. In order that your Father who's in heaven may also forgive you of your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. Isn't that something? That he brings that verse into Mark 11, 22 through 24. Because if you don't address this, you will not have the mountain-moving faith that is necessary in your life. Can I have an amen? So I want you to bow. Yeah, give God a good clap offering. This is good.
I want to go back to, in the beginning, Pastor started out with the Holy Spirit and how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives. And it doesn't make us better than others in our mind. But, you know, if you realize what happens when the Holy Spirit comes into you, and the Bible tells us the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts
by the Holy Ghost,
by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. And we need the love of God in our heart to overcome many things. But the Holy Spirit, it also says that when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we build ourselves up in our most holy faith. And faith works by love. So those things really work together as power twins. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so, you know, it says that after the Holy Spirit comes upon us, you shall receive power to become witnesses. You shall receive power. Absolutely. So there is something good about the Holy Spirit coming in because you get power to overcome all these things, overcome feelings, overcome mountains, to overcome hurts and all these things. It's by the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it makes us better in the fact that then the love of God, the compassion of Jesus can come forth from us. Amen. If you don't like wars and rumors of wars, get everybody you can filled with the Holy Ghost. Because if this whole world was filled with the Holy Ghost, the love of God would be shed abroad in our hearts, and there wouldn't be wars. People wouldn't be fighting. There wouldn't be wars in the home. Now, I have a daughter, and I don't even call you a daughter-in-law. I mean, I know some of you women who know her. She is the epitome of the love of God. And her children exude that too. I watch them with their little friends. And I mean, it's hug each other. I'm talking about friends that ain't even saved. Love each other. And that love just comes forth all the time. And that love comes forth from you, Kaylin. You can feel it and sense it. Well, it's the love of God that's shed abroad in the hearts. And as if we as the church, as Christians, want to see the battles end in church, the battles end in families, the battles end in the world. It's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the answer. Jesus is the answer, and that's why he sent the Holy Spirit to be in us so the love of God could come forth. So praying in the Holy Spirit will make you better. Being filled, desire the things of the Spirit. And just like he read the scripture about love and joy and peace being fruits of the Spirit to come forth, it will make you better, but it won't make it, you know, don't let it make you think you're better. It's only as you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and to overcome those things. And when somebody's ugly and mean and rude, and that can be someone within your own family, then the love of God shed abroad in your heart can work in you to rise above all of that, amen, and have the power within you to have your faith working, amen. God is bigger than, yes, the mountains that Pastor is sharing about. God's bigger, but the only way we can be bigger than those mountains and have mountain-moving faith is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this, we're in an era of the Holy Spirit right now, a moving, and we've got to connect. We've really got to connect with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I pray for over there in the Ukraine and all of that evil junk that's going on. But there's people over there praying. There's people over there praying away in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, and we've got to join them and not Hallelujah. Just talk about the situation. Yeah. Not just grieve or cry over the situation. But let the Holy Ghost get a hold of us. And the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts cause us to pray over situations, whether it's here or abroad, whether it's in our home or in our church. The Holy Spirit will lead us with the answers and the power. You know, when he said, the Holy Spirit will give you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll have power to be witnesses. Do you know why you'll have power to be witnesses? Because the love of God in there is going to want this one saved, and this one saved, yeah, and this one saved. And so that power will rise up, and you'll want to share. And you'll wake up in the morning and say, well, you know, someone planted, someone watered, and God gave the increase. God, let me water somebody that's been planted today, that's had the word, the seed planted in. Let me be some water today to somebody, God. Amen. Open up the door. I mean, that's what the Holy Ghost will do in you, is make you feel like that. I want to be an answer. I want to have the power to be a witness. And you know what? You'll come across somebody, and just like that, before you know it, the door's opening, and you're sharing the love of God with them, and you're watering seed that was planted by somebody. Isn't that awesome? That's the power that the Holy Spirit brings and gives. And when you operate in that, you'll forget about all the other petty things and all of this. Your family praying together in the Spirit, praying together in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Jude, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. Or it says, you, brethren, build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. And so there's a lot that the Bible talks about concerning the Holy Spirit in love and the joy you have and the peace you have. But it also talks about it building up your faith. So all those things coming and working together, just think, that's the power that Jesus was talking about when he said you'll be witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? Because the love is going to make you love people enough to want to witness to them, to want to pray for them. You know? Does that make sense?
I'm going to do something here. Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. You know, the Apostle Paul, listen to this. He says, I pray in tongues more than you all. And I believe that was the key that empowered him to get through all the things that he had to get through to get the gospel to the world that he was in. Amen. So I know sometimes with your mind, you know, you're thinking, you know, is this fruitful? Well, the Bible says your mind is unfruitful when it comes to praying in the Spirit. But you are being charged on the inside supernaturally when you pray in the Spirit. Amen. And if you've ever had a loose tongue, I was over at Tom, years ago, I was over at Matt and Angie, one of their first houses they had when they were married. Remember, we were remodeling the house, and I hit my thumb, and his dad and mom were there, and I hit my thumb with a hammer, and I went, churamakataramahia. Well, that's better than, amen. I'm serious. And if we prayed more in the Spirit, when pressure would hit, right? Persecution would come, out of your mouth would bring words of life instead of words of death. Amen. Can I have an amen? That's how important it is that you practice that daily in your lives, to pray in the Spirit. And if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, it's very, do you qualify? Of course. If you're born again, you qualify. You don't have to be spiritually, you know, mature. You just have to desire it. Amen. Desire. Remember what Jesus said in the book of Acts? He said, now you go and wait in Jerusalem Luke's gospel says, till you be endued with power, equipped with power from on high. Because Jesus knew that they would not be able to do what he called them to do without divine assistance.
Amen. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to be the answer to some mama's prayer, some grandma's prayer, some daddy's prayer that is just prayed this morning. Oh, Father, send laborers across Johnny's life. Send laborers across Betsy's life. Whatever. I want to be that answer. But if we're prayed up, we will be. We will be the one watering seeds that have been planted in someone, and they know no more. But all of a sudden, here comes some water, and they start to desire more of Jesus and more of Jesus. That's the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And that is the power that makes you become witnesses.
So don't, please, I just humbly ask you, don't turn yourself off to things that you may not understand. Be open to the supernatural. The most supernatural thing that ever happened in your life is when God saved you on the inside. You became born again. Amen. But another supernatural event that he was the one that commanded. He said, don't you leave till you're equipped. Amen. So tonight, don't you leave here till you're equipped. Amen. So right now, I want you to bow your head. Amen. No, just bow your head, and I'm going to pray with you tonight. And if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's what you desire tonight, then you're going to ask God to fill you. And when you ask him, all you got to do is open your mouth and speak out, but not in English, and God will fill it with a glorious utterance of the Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning services at 8:30 and 10:30. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.